Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you guys. Smooth. Drama. Smooth. Drama.
All right. Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. Of course, I want to hear from you. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And if you're a little too afraid to call me, feel free to email me your questions, comments, concerns. smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Hit me up. I'll hit you back and we can talk a taste on it. Also, you can tell I social network. So if you have Facebook, you can go to my Smooth Drama page on Facebook, request to join. Myself or Mr. J will hook you up. We will add you, and you'll see that we talk about this and that, from sneakers to hats, whatever is going down. We pretty much covering it in there. You know, it gets a little wild in there. Generally, whatever social network you on, I'm on the majority of them. So just Google Smooth Drama. If you find me, Smooth Drama Radio on your social media, add me. I'll add you back, and we can talk about whatever. Jump into the chat rooms. I'm streaming live right now, and you jump to the chat room. I'm getting asked crazy questions like, do I like Africans? Well, being that I am what they say is African American, I'm of Kemetic descent. So yes, I love my people. Will always love my people. That's all I got. In the meantime, in between time, oh man, this is the Smooth Drama reality show. When I say it's the Smooth Drama reality show, you know how they say it's reality, but everything is scripted. I mean, they kind of know that the camera's there. So is that reality? You know, reality is those secret tapings. You don't know that the camera's there, and you're just talking crazy, acting crazy, all up in your notebook. You're doing all kinds of foolishness, and it's on camera. It's locked. People can see it. That's reality. And so I'm making fun of some things that people think are real, but they really are not. Starting with the World Health Organization. You know, we already have been inordinate amount of bogus sicknesses and ailments. I mean, we just keep creating them, right? The World Health Organization has come out and said that people who don't have sex or struggle to find a sexual partner to have children with will now be considered as disabled. And this is according to the new Barmy guidelines set to be announced. Until, you know, it used to be infertility, which is, if you don't know, the failure to achieve pregnancy after 12 months or more. It was not considered a disability. But now, the World Health Organization is changing the standards. They're saying that a person who is unable to find a suitable sexual partner or is lacking a sexual relationship to have children will now be equally classified as disabled. And the World Health Organization says the change will give every individual the right to reproduce. This is where my confusion comes in. They said this change by telling people, hey, if you can't get pregnant, you are disabled. By telling people that they're disabled, this will give every individual the right to reproduce. That right there is one of the craziest statements ever. We know we have the right to reproduce. And see, this is where the whole Jedi mind trick comes in, where folks tell you something, and so you believe it, and so it kind of happens that way. I know some people don't believe in that, the power of, you know, we say the power of positive suggestion. And then if there's the power of positive suggestion, then there will be the power of negative suggestion. And yeah, if you're in Asia, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. They hitting it in Asia. They make babies. Whether you're in China, you're in India. I mean, I think if you drink their water, you can get pregnant. It's like sperm in the water. You know, like, so you don't necessarily have to have sex. You can just like take a bath in the stream, and you're in the stream, you're in the river, and that sperm just gonna come on up. It's gonna flow up in there. I was just saying, because they have a lot of people on that side of the world. They have a lot of people. They don't have a lot of money, but they have a lot of people. Craziness. But yeah, the World Health Organization saying that you're disabled if you can't get pregnant after about a year of trying. Now, I know in some situations there's, you know, you can say that part of it is people are not necessarily infertile, but stress and other factors can, I mean, because we may say it's some dietary issues that prevent pregnancy from happening. I mean, I think there are a lot of factors that factor in on it. And, you know, say somebody can go a year, not get pregnant, and then you have a stigma like you're disabled. No, I just think some people may not necessarily want to get pregnant. Because I think there are some people, you put it in the air. You say, hey, I want to get pregnant. I want to get pregnant. You know, I had a girlfriend recently who, you know, was like, I'm ready to start a family. I'm ready to start a family. She got pregnant. So you put it in the air. And who knows what it's going to catch. I believe Bowfinger, they call it Chubby Rain, where you get rained on and you just get pregnant. It kind of happens. You know, you speak it into existence and it exists. I don't know. That's just me. I believe in that type of philosophy. I don't know about anybody else. Now, what was depressing to me. Well, I won't say depressing, but it was funny. There's a site, software company called GlyphCat or GiphyCat, and what they do is they do porn but their porn is able to use a machine learning algorithm to create a computer generated version of somebody else's face. So, for example, somebody else's body, they can take regular porn, somebody else's bodies, and they can, the software takes somebody else's face and puts it on there, and so all of a sudden you will have different people. You'll have celebrities having sex with somebody else's body. You know what I mean? It's you're changing the face. It is one of the most horrific, horrifying things that you can see happening. Because I mean, when you think about that for a second, that means anybody can just switch your face if you get the you get the change, right? You get the change, and you change in somebody's face. So let's say you dated somebody, they hate you, they're a software genius, or they know somebody working at GiffyCat. You know, there's some videos of you and him, or you and her. And they decide, I'm gonna put you on Front Street. And so they switch your face onto somebody else's body. And all kinds of, the implications can be horrifying, devastating, right? Because it's like, say you're a heterosexual man, and they put you into, they put your face in some gay porn. And it goes viral, right? Yeah, this is one of the crazier aspects that folks, because I know there'll be some people like, oh, what's wrong with that? I mean, because, you know, nowadays it's quote unquote, it's bad to be heterosexual. It's not bad to be homosexual. You'll have a situation where somebody will do that. And I mean, it goes viral, and depending on your job, you don't want coworkers looking at you like, well, damn, I saw you in this video. You like, nah, that's what? I'm not in no video. And then somebody will pull it up. You're like, that is not me, but that is your face. Looks like your body. Because if you can find somebody that has a similar body type as someone, it can get ugly. It can get ugly. Think about how ugly it can get. You know, because you really don't have any control over it. You know, because these videos were deleted from the internet by GiffyCat, but it's what they call fake app, and it's been downloaded more than 100,000 times. So, as a celebrity, I'd be mad as hell. Like, hold on, so you're telling me that these people are going to be taking my picture and putting my picture in compromising positions that have nothing to do with, well, they taking my face and putting me into a compromised positions that somebody else is in. And the uninformed will look at that and say, oh, that's them. That is definitely them. And when you think about it under those terms, that can get really, really scary. Because they can put you in any kind of scenario. And what can you do about it? Any kind of scenario, what can you do about it? Nothing. You can do nothing, but you will still get caught up in some of the craziest stuff ever. You know, depending on what your job is, you may even get fired. And it ain't even you. It's fake app. It's a sketchy software program. Crazy, crazy, crazy. On that note, yeah, I need to take a break. So, this is Mos Def. Sun, moon, stars.
The sun, the moon, and the stars, and the breeze.
Seven eight two six seven four three five is the call in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Oh, man. I almost forgot. I can't go no further without showing off my dumbass of the week. All right. You always got to get that last one in. My dumbass of the week is a dude named T. Siva. T. Siva was hit by a train in the quest for making the perfect selfie. Homie is out of Hyderabad, India. And I guess the video has been viewed thousands of times. He was ignoring the warnings. People tell me, "Hey, watch out," because homie is on the train tracks. The train is approaching. He's trying to get the perfect selfie with the train approaching. So, typical dumbass fashion. Homie is ignoring everybody. They're like, "Hey, move!" He's like, one minute, wait." And the train strikes him on the right side of his head and his body, and the phone falls to the ground. He lived. He suffered head injuries, and they fined him 500 rupees. Which comes out to about $7.87, which in India, for those cats, you're not making no money, it's a lot. But the point is, you're still a dumbass because it's a train. Human body is not meant to withstand trains. At least, that's what I learned a long time ago. You don't let metal objects hit you because they can hurt you. Hopefully, that selfie was worth it, and I hope it was a good one. I hope it can get you all the ladies that you want once you wake up out of that semi-coma, whatever, or you can get all your faculties back. Shout out to T. Siva. Good job, homie. You are my dumbass of the week. Now, you know, I talk about being a conspiracy theorist. And when I say I'm a conspiracy theorist, I'm talking about there are some things, because this is the reality show, right? And so this is the reality show where I'm talking about just straight up the real, not the fake, because this is me real life. You have situations like, I'll tell you, I'm a basketball coach. So in being a basketball coach in my other life, you run into some interesting individuals. None more depressing than what I saw tonight. There was a bunch of women for the opposing team in the gym. Screaming and hollering, cussing out the referee, calling them all kinds of names, and the referee was like, "Nah, I can't take this." He stopped the game. Kids was messed up because these parents could not control themselves enough to just say, "Hey, let's just watch the game." I mean, I get it. The referee sucked, because, yeah, the referee sucked. But when you get to the point where it was, you know, just the behavior. These were black women behaving way, way out of pocket. Like, you know, you talk about the myth of ghetto fabulous, and then you see reality show TV and you see these women, they take the next step of just stupidity because they know the camera's rolling. That's how they make their money. But these were women who were way out of bounds. Way out of bounds. And you know, it was really, really sad to see. I mean I was in particular very, very disappointed in what happened tonight, because I'm looking at these black women and, you know, their mothers. They are the first teachers. They are the current teachers. You know, skimming off of what I talked about last show. The standards that are not being met, not being what the hell, the line not being drawn on how to act, you know, to be shit, to be civil and just a normal person. Because, you know, they're getting kicked out, and one of the women come back and try to rob the snack bar for some chips. I mean, it's just one of those situations where you just sit back and you just shake your head like, really? Is this really where we at? And I say this, and I say it as a conspiracy theory, because, you know, I say, in my experience in dealing with folks, right? You see and hear all kinds of things, and after a while, you don't get shocked. But see, I call myself somewhat of a revolutionary. I'm not, you know, talking about revolutionary where, you know, you got people that's like, well, I got like 1,000 guns and 4,000 bullets at the crib, and I'm talking about setting off the revolution where I'm just out there in the streets and I'm about to kill somebody. No, that is not what I'm talking about. Revolution I'm talking about is the revolution of the mind. I mean, because there is no physical if you can't get the mind right. So I have to refer to my brother. He came out with a book, Mottism. My brother Jaja Malik Adra came out with a book called Mottism, and it's an indigenous African revolutionary ideology. And in it, you know, He's stating that we can't get better, we can't grow as a people if we use the oppressor's tools and cultural mores and norms to make ourselves better. It just can't happen. In his book, there's the chapter where he talks about restoring the status of African women. And we talking about restoring the status of African women, we're talking about, you see how to upstage black thought, positive black thought, in cultural morals and standards. You know, they found that it's not, I mean, you can kill black leaders, which they did effectively. And then they just look like, you know, we kill all these black leaders and they just keep coming up. We have to destroy the women. And so when we talk about restoring the status of African women, we're talking about us, you know, women in particular. We, you know, black men, we protect and we speak about black women in a way that is positive and uplifting. I mean, it's really tough, you know, not to speak to women in a positive way. That's not what I'm referring to. What I'm referring to is, you know, we're in the midst of a culture, and I would say we're at a cultural moral low point because we don't have what you would say a way of speaking to. We don't have mechanisms that are positive overall. No, right now, the decay is like gangrene. When we talk about the communication between our people, and I'm talking about from the education, social, political. I mean, all fragments of our culture have been shattered in the diaspora's attraction to each other is like magnets where they're just like repelling and pushing each other away. That's kind of where we are. You know, I mean, the war on sisters, you know, it started with the welfare and the man not being in the house is how you can get your money first. So you enable women. I don't need no man. And you know, we've heard that. And as I was saying, when I talked about the phenomenon of strong black sisters, just strong, just really, really strong. But then they're looking for a strong black man, but, you know, a couple of generations of strong black women who don't think of the male, I don't need a strong male, so you enable soft men and you raise soft men. And thus, You have, I believe Tupac was talking about, you have raised the babies that hate the ladies. And so I expect my woman, because I remember a girlfriend was like, yeah, you know, I know that you don't look at me as the plan. That's what's appealing. Because there are a lot of dudes who look at the woman as the plan. So we have a lot of angry women who don't have strong black men overall. I mean, we know that there are some good brothers out there, just like there's some good sisters. But that fight would lose. We're like losing. And it's really, really bad because You know, I used to joke with my old coworkers back when I was working for a corporation. I was like, see, none of y'all got kids. And all of y'all are smart. So when the smart people aren't having kids, you know, the people who are, when I say smart, they, you know, got a little intelligence, a little patience, and they can teach their kids intelligence, pass it down in patience. And, you know, smart people can counterbalance, counteract the dumb people. So there, we know there's some people who just, it's like, why do you keep having kids? And somebody's got to be able to counteract these dumbass kids that come from these dumbass parents. If not, what's that future? You know, when you have, you have drama queens, people who are angry for no reason whatsoever. I remember talking to a sister, and once again I talked about how, you know, everything is anger, what I'm not gonna have, but you can't talk about yourself. You know, I mean, we have a group of women, a generation of women, a couple generations now, who, I mean, articulation and understanding that, you know, when you talk about feminism, that's not necessarily a good thing, you know, and part of it is integration. But I had a clip from David Banner where he talks about integration. I think he breaks it down way better than I will. So I'll play him. Say, this is David Banner talking about integration.
I personally think integration was the worst thing that ever happened to black people, even more than slavery, because in slavery, at least, we knew that we were fighting to do something. Black people gave up ownership. We don't even have any say-so over how we teach our kids.
Come on, man.
Or the way that our children wear their hair when they go to public schools in a lot of cases. So I think what happened in the movement, it was never about integration. It was about desegregation, you know, breaking down the machines of white supremacy. And I think, you know, we spent so much time trying to integrate that we forgot who we were.
Yes.
And the real purpose of us being here, and that's ownership.
Yes.
Yeah. So, David Banner talking about integration and how, and that's when you say it's ownership, where we own who we are. So, now, the lack of ownership, meaning lack of community, lack of cultural mores. I mean, you take on the personality and the culture of people who hate black people. I mean, because that's integration. Integration was about killing desegregation, not taking on the personality in sharing the feelings and learning from people who, quite frankly, hate you, which is what happened. So in integration, you know, folks ran to be around white people because it'd be better. But I would contend that better is relative. I mean, because we've heard the million stories of how we were treated badly in these neighborhoods, and even when you move to the neighborhood, they just move out like, you know what, we can't even be around y'all, which is what happens, has been happening, continues to happen. And so when they come back, they make sure that you can't afford to live there, and so it's still the same thing. But no matter where we go, no matter where we congregate, the love for each other, it just keeps diminishing and diminishing and diminishing. And so, and it's something that I think I want to delve in a little bit further. We can go into another segment, but I'm going to go on break here. I was talking about uplifting songs, and one of my sister friends was talking about uplifting songs for black women. And, you know, I was just like, you know, Jungle Brothers, black woman. And I'm like, you know what? Throw some love. I'm throwing black women love. I love y'all. Here we go. This is the Jungle Brothers, black woman.
I want to create a beautiful world for you, black woman. A world of beauty for beautiful you. A world of beauty for beautiful you. Black woman, mother of my earth, black woman. You gave me birth. You can truly see what's in me. You can help me be the best that I can be. You feed my fire when I'm on the wire. Keep it calm when it gets higher. Sweet like sugar and hot like wine. Always keeping you on my mind. Giving my life a new life to reach for. Giving me so much. How could I ask for more? Keeping us tight when we're getting loose. The dark of a berry, the sweet of a juice. Black woman.
Jungle Brothers, Black Woman. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Now, just talking about women and restoring the status of African women. And I talk about the morals, and I think people think that I'm just saying, you know, I think some people would take it like from a misogynist point of view that I'm saying, oh, it's the women and it's not the men. No, I'm not saying that it is not the men. Yes, the men are very, very culpable. But what I was saying, and I think it's important to note this, that when I refer to your oppressor, the imperious colonialist powers, how do they, because I believe I started off by saying you saw black leaders, males, being shot in the streets. But see, your oppressor notices that no matter what, no matter how many you shoot, another one rises up. That is because they were backed by strong black women, you know, pushing and nurturing and raising up the next one. So in order to stop that pipeline, you have to disconnect the black family. And, you know, disembowel the man, but definitely corrupt the woman. Destroy that connection. And the woman is the first teacher. I mean, the baby learns inside of you. Babies learn inside of you from the get. So if there's negativity in that stream, it pervades itself down. And I think that's one of the important notes, because I'm not saying that they haven't worked hard to destroy black men. We know they've worked hard to destroy black men by feminizing black men at a high rate, you know, through all the images, to the point where, I mean, we talked about how you can't be a star in Hollywood as a black man unless you've worn the dress and been feminized in the film. They want to know that they can break you. Then they will allow you in the door. It's very important to note that. So that is happening. I mean, you know, it's one of the things where I talk about where they make you, you know, supposedly feel bad because you're a heterosexual. It's like, really? Because I don't want a woman who has a penis or used to have a penis. There's something wrong with me? No. But what I'm focusing on, and like I said, my homie wrote in the book, my brother wrote in the book, the raising up of the black woman, restoring you to your status. You know, you're very important status. You are the linchpin. Without you, revolution can't happen. It's just, it's like impossible, right? Through all the odds. And this is, I mean, I always go to the guy, Malcolm X. Father, UNIA organizer. Mother, UNIA organizer. You know, father, preacher, whatever. Kill the father. The mother, you know, does, I mean, she still raises up a strong line of kids. They still, you know, became, you know, they stayed a strong family unit. Even when Malcolm strayed, he still ended up being hard. See, that's the love of a mother, that they took the kids from her, broke her. You know, but she put more than enough in there, and plus the spirit of the black family together. It no matter what, you revert. I've always believed that you revert back to the form. So you can stray off a little bit. It's sort of like that where the Amish thing, where they let their kids go out into the world after they've raised them. And people are like, nah, they'll never come back, but they come back. Why? I mean, we know there's some who don't come back, but the majority come back because once you've instilled in them a certain cultural more and moral set, it's there. It's ingrained. So you'll have some folks who can, who will look to circumvent that, but eventually, even if they don't go back to being Amish in town, they'll adopt to being Amish in the city. It's one of those things. And so that's what I mean when I talk about black women. Being corrupted and, you know, taken away from the comedic roots. So now when we talk about black women, it's more like, hey, sisters, let's unite. No, I'm sorry. But when you talk about feminism, and if you're talking about white women and black women coming together, you don't have the same issues. And you're not on the same side. I mean, because we know white people want to win, want to continue to win, because they're winning. They ain't losing. They have not been losing. And I don't think they plan on losing anytime soon. But on that note, it's Groundhog Day time, where I talk about that racism that happens here in America that just never stops for some strange reason. Same things happen day after day after day.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no!
What is that shit that happened again? I mean, it's so much. But there was another shooting in L.A. 12-year-old girl, as a matter of fact, came up to the school about 8:55, Salvador Castro Middle School in Westlake District. 12-year-old girl is in custody, and her weapon's been seized. She shot a 15-year-old boy in the head, and another girl, 15, was shot in the wrist. Three others, 11 to 30, suffered minor injuries. And the police confirmed that the female is 12 years old. You know, as I said, this is the resurgence of white people. It's just unnecessary shooting. You know, they're mad over any and all things, and so it's not necessarily racist, but it is, right? Because if these were black kids shooting, if this were black people shooting, it would never not be on the news. It would just be run into the ground. And why is it not run into the ground? Because it's white people. They didn't continue to talk about homie in Kentucky that shot kids. It's like they not talking about this one. Because it's just white people. White people shooting and killing folks. It's not terrorist attacks. These are all isolated attacks. But if it was black folks, constantly shooting at schools. Just constantly just shooting. No matter, you just seen black folks. They be showing the picture every day, all day. But this, you don't see nothing. You don't hear nothing. And they'll say, oh, it's to protect the innocent. Then they're minors. But no. It's not because they're minors. It's just because they're white. Can't keep showing it. Because you just see that there's the crazy. I mean, because we're still waiting on the motive for Homie in Vegas. They just never delved into that. You just, I mean, once again, these are white people. That was a white man who decided, you know what? I'm going to shoot a bunch of people. I mean, we just not talking about it. The phenomenon that is white people all of a sudden just feel, oh, well, we're disenfranchised. We have everything, but don't feel like we have everything. As you know, that perception is reality. So white people are believing that we are being marginalized out, underused, underpaid. And yes, you are. But that's because of the rich white people. But that's white supremacy. It makes poor white people attack poor black people. But at the same time, it attacks black people from all strata and makes sure that they are disconnected at all levels, which is what has happened, been happening, continues to happen. We're going to do about it. Don't know too many options right now, but the fact that we're stuck in the rut here, it seems like things just stay the same. Nothing changes. And it doesn't even matter how positive we are and how great we do things. There's just nothing that happens good. I mean, because I've seen there's an article, American students aren't learning the truth about slavery. I mean, factor is, it's not about slavery. It's about what we did before slavery. We built pyramids that they can't duplicate. Just can't duplicate. And, you know, I tell kids, and I'll tell anybody else who want to hear, don't run from your legacy. You know, here in America, they will claim your legacy in a heartbeat, but we run from ours. And part of that is because the misinformation that associates ourselves with the richest country on earth. You know, when I say riches, I'm talking about that's where all the gold, diamonds, minerals, food sources, it's in what they call Africa. No continent is richer than that. But we won't claim ours. We'll claim theirs. Which is just part of that program and that process. And so this is why, you know, when I say yes, we need to return the status of importance to black women. And we need to learn to be able to socialize and get along and make moves together. If not, it's just going to be Groundhog Day. And I don't think that we can afford a few more generations of Groundhog Day. It's getting kind of hectic, as Rob G used to say. We don't got the power. And on that note, I am Mr. F N Word. This is another Smooth Drama production. I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama. Smooth.